If you think of the PC or the Amiga, they have a stupid piece of hardware, and you read it from your OS, so it's in the same machine. Whereas here, you have a separate machine, and you communicate serially with it. Okay, if data is stored using the normal operation system, then you can copy it. That's standard format. You don't need to go down to the level of the analog storage on the disk, because there is a standard format, and there are any number of copy programs that can handle that. So again, introducing errors was the thing, what they had to do. And I already cheated on this one. So protection eventually grew to a point where they cannot be replicated on the 1541 themselves. On the 5 1/4 disks, there is a little hole, and if you have a PC, you can read every lap, because you can have a diode there. The 1541 does not have that, so on a PC you can have a perfect sync on a position on disks, whereas on the C64 you can only place sync marks, and then you put your track on a sector beyond that. So you cannot tell if you are on 12 o'clock on the disk. You just know that which lap you're on. So what you could do, which is totally impossible to replicate on the 1541, is if you have the sync on one track, then you move the head outwards, and then you have the actual data there. That can never be replicated on a 1541. Oh, all right. The picture should show up a bit later. But so disk cracking. I'm showing you here an example of this trashing and encoding. I don't know if you can read it. First of all, you have all the same method as you do on tape. You can overload, you can encrypt, and you can decrypt, and all of that. But the thing is, if you have a freezer cartridge, and a number of people had freezer cartridge on the 64, the disk drive was in a separate computer, right? So that's a separate computer. You cannot access it. You can freeze and look into your computer memory, but what is in the disk drive memory? Yeah, it's there. You can't access it. It's gone. It's beyond your reach. So you need to ensure that in order to understand what's there, you need to find a spot where you can examine what's going there before it's going there. And this is one of the things that Electronic Arts was particularly good at. Their Pirate Slayer boot is probably one of the more difficult protections on the 64. So it loads a protected main file, and then there is an 11-layer decryption, which you can see one instance of here. If you follow the logic here, the first portion here, not sure if I can point, this thing here, you don't see that. I'm pointing on my screen, not your screen. So this first portion trashes what was up. So if this is instance 5, instance 4 is gone after that little loop. And then it sets the pointer to the address just after the inner loop, and then that runs for the rest of the memory, right? And then you have, and it uses timers, which means that it's not static values. It's stuff that changes by the cycle. So if you don't run this cycle perfect, you're fucked. This is quite interesting. Yeah, if you like that kind of thing, or it's the most boring thing on earth, whatever you choose. Okay, other types of protection. Shit, I already gave one away. Manual protections. Stupid games, typically like role-playing games, where you're supposed to enter word number 5 on line number 6 on page 55. Yeah, that's one of them. What do? Fuck it, you just delete it. Remove that piece of code. Code wheel, that's this one. Okay, they give you... this is from Elvira, I think. So they give you a number of instructions, and then you flip your code wheel, and you read what the code wheel says, and then you enter that, and you're good to go. What do? Fuck it, remove it. Compiled BASIC. Stuff written in BASIC, and then they compile it, and they release it as a game, should be illegal. if you're lucky, you have a decompiler so you can make it into BASIC again. If you don't have that, then you're fucked. Compile BASIC is shit. Don't do it. Okay. More on cracking. Do I need to understand how data is stored on disk and tape? Hell no, I'm clueless. I think I've cracked 300 games or so. I have no idea how tapes work. I have a rough understanding how disks work. If you ask me to write a tape turbo, it will take me forever because I have no idea how you do it. I know how to defeat them. I don't know the other shit. So what do I need to know? I obviously don't need to know anything about the format on the disk and tape. Well, you need to know everything about the CPU. You need to code reasonably well on the 64, I would say, including illegal opcodes. I should have pointed that one out. There is, of course, illegal opcodes. These are opcodes not officially supported by the CPU. You're kind of using glitches, and anyone coding demos are used to using glitches of the C64. That's sort of the beauty of it. And you need a separate set of tools to do what you want. Cracking up. Isn't that a hilarious picture for this? Okay. Cracking a one-filer. A one-filer is a program which will not require any additional data from the media once you loaded it. You load it and then you're done. The lamer would be able to freeze this one. This is not what we're going to do. So first of all, you identify the segment it loads. I'll get back to why. And then you store them away as you load them. And then, you need to identify the start address. Where does this game start? And then you need to develop a trainer. So you look through the game and you play through the game and you find a number of cheats for the game. Because eventually we're going to play through the game to ensure that it works 100%. That's why I hate playing games, by the way, because I've played 300 games to the end with cheats. And after that, games aren't funny anymore. All right. Then you RLE pack. And run length encoding is a packing mechanism which reduces long sequences of the same byte. So this is why we wanted the segments. We want to clear everything out in between so we can RLE and pack very efficiently. And then the trainer, of course, jumps to the start. So then the RLE packer would jump to your trainer menu. So that is the first thing that starts. And then you add an intro. You want to tag the shit, or it's not worth putting it out. And then you crunch. So that's a sequence cruncher, finding equal repetition of data within the program. Typically, it's based on LZ77 or something similar. Okay, and what are RLE packers? I just took from my own utility disk a number of examples of the ones I used. EBC, equal byte compressor, nice program by Triangle, my personal edition of it. And sequence crunchers. So dark squeezer, byte boiler, are they familiar names? Otherwise, you could have been using cruel crunch, and then you're really old, I can tell you. Or you use time crunch, then you're even older. An AB crunch is also something by one way. This is not really right, but level crunchers, that's for multi-level games, and I'm getting to that. So just showing that the crunchers appeared in level versions as well. That's basically crunching the data, storing the data, but not adding the depacker header on it. Today, you would clone your own RLE. Nobody uses somebody else's for some reason. And then you use XMRISER for the rest because it's fantastic. Okay. Adding an intro. This is where we're getting into a little bit of... Yes? No? How do I run it? Oh, yeah, it's running. So here we're running the Fairlight Intro Maker. Secret stuff, never shown in public before. I'm letting this hang so you can hear more of the tune. Space. Yeah, some say that that is actually bugged. It doesn't sound exactly like the Druid 2 original. We made it better. Or we bugged it, but it sounds nice still. Okay, Kraken Multiload is the same. The only thing you need to do is you need to identify the loader and ditch it. So this is what my my children would call a daddy joke. This is a ditched loader. Okay, and then you need to add your own loader, of course, because if there is no loader, you need to have a loader. And the loaders that we tend to use are speed loaders that includes real-time depacking. So it decrunches on the fly from the disk and also does it in a faster manner than the standard OS loader. Yeah, that's what I said there. Okay. Okay, but the Credo information wants to be free. That's one of the basic foundation and one of the principles that we all like to think that we follow. But there are actually like additional rules or scene agreements. What you see here on the right is the international standards. There was a copy party, which I hope we will not replicate here, in the Danish Gold Party. Epic party where they burned the place to the ground afterwards. Yeah, Bam Bam from Hungary. Stay out of him. He will be trouble coming your way. But there is also a current set of rules, and it's a 5, 6, 7, 8 page long document by JazzCat of Onslaught. Basically, it says you should crack to files, not have direct track and sector loading. You should train it. You should upload it to a few selected BBSs. I'm a big fan of ancient technologies such as the C64. But I can't for the living daylight understand why you want the BBS. There are so much nicer and more efficient things. I like the old computer. I think BBSs are shit. Okay. I needed to have that said. Yeah. And it should work on PAL and NTSC. Who uses NTSC? They don't care. So it's only a principle. And it should run on a stock C64. I object to that as well. I think RAM expansion unit support is absolutely fine, and if it needs to run on with an REU, I think that's fine as well. But again, JazzCat does not agree, so we have a slight disagreement, but these are the rules. If you want to be counted in the official list of launched releases, that's what you need to abide to. Thank you for watching. That's actually what I wanted to say for today. And of course, I have room for questions. Yes? Which has been the hardest game to crack? The hardest game ever to crack. I'm not saying I cracked the hardest. I think Gordian's Tomb was protected using Timex 3. Siren, what do you say? That's a bitch. I also think that Alternate Reality is one of the games that haven't really been properly cracked. There is also a text editor called Paperback Writer. Excellent choice of name, by the way, for anybody understanding their Beatles history. Which is also a bitch. That uses stuff like if you print and you haven't, if the cracker hasn't cleared the volume registry, it will crash. How do you crack that so a working version? You need to print before you realize that you need to do that. So I think that's the three more difficult ones. Pyro's Layer Boot is also a bitch. Running it on an emulator, it's quite easy, but the original one, it's impressive those people did it back then. Did I hear what tools do you use? No? Because I prepared extra slides for that particular question. So I'd like that question now, please. Yes, that's an excellent question. Thank you for that. So here, everybody runs on emulators. Everybody tests them on the stock hardware before you release it. So what I use is Vice, plus a monitor, the monitor included in Vice. And then I use Sublime plus Kick Assembler and then Swofa's absolutely magnificent integration that makes them into an IDE. Totally great, totally great. Then there is this one. I need to show you this one. This is C64 debugger. So what you see here is the Fairlight intro, a digital representation of the memory. Memory that's, you can see it running in real time. Memory viewer as hex codes and also as graphics. Nobody except somebody from Poland would ever do this. So it, hats off, it's absolutely amazing. Yeah. Some hints on Kick Assembler. Kick Assembler can do a lot more than you potentially think. You can generate your D64s out of the box from Kick Assembler. Here I have .disk and then adding the name. So generating the D64, you don't need a separate tool. It's already there. So what I do when I crack is that I have the original data. I do ASM files for patching files. Like I import, I patch, and I save them back. Of course, I have ASM file for like the trainers and stuff, so that's my own code. And then I use an ASM file for building the D64, and then I just tie this all together using a BAT file. So I just click on that one, and then I have a D64 that runs. Totally fluid. Yeah. That is actually all the questions I prepared. So thank you especially for asking that particular question. Great. And
there we go with the words of...
Somebody from the organizer want to wrap up afterwards? Or that's what I would have done. So I'm not forcing anyone.
And that was Backus of Fairlight cracking the world. And here's Spot.
Thank you very much, Backus. Give the man a hand.
Okay. We're still twiddling with stuff. I'm sorry about the delay. This is Ziffoin live from the Data Storm party in, well, Data Storm summer, even, in Gothenburg, Sweden. And in a little while, we're gonna have Conqueror, also of Fairlight, I think. It depends on what he's part of now. Gonna expand. The cracking bit a bit more. I will have to twiddle some stuff. For those of you who are listening, it will break in a little while. The video stream will occasionally pop up and down. I need to retweak some stuff, so it might drop out, but then just reload it in a little while, and we'll see how that goes. But for now, I'll be back in just about 15 minutes or something. But there is some twiddling to be done. Okay, talk to you in a bit.